Chapter 40. Once again, Charlie woke to the horrid stench of his cell. Only this time, he had one hell of a whopper of a headache to go along with a nasal assault. He couldn't tell what time it was. The lighting in the corridor outside was always the same. But they had been kind enough to dim the light in his cell, at least. Judging by how relatively quiet it was, he figured it was either nighttime or mealtime. But during the latter, there was always a bit of a ruckus. So night it was, or more appropriately, off shift, seeing as night and day were relative in the constant dark of space. "Oh, my aching neck," he grumbled as he pushed up to his elbow. Apparently, it wasn't only his head that had taken a bit of abuse. The dueling control collars had made his body their battlefield, and ground zero for them both was just above his collarbones. He gingerly touched the skin beneath the two bands, expecting blisters at the very least, but was pleasantly surprised to find everything intact. Whatever the collars had done, it had spared his dermis from harm. "Score one for Charlie," he said with a little chuckle. "But hot damn, I feel like I was on the wrong end of a pissed-off rodeo bull." He moved a little more, forcing himself to sit upright, though his body wanted nothing more than to just lie there and melt into the lumpy bunk. Some of the soreness, he reckoned, was from the heavy loads he had carried from the ruined ship. Lots of twists and turns, stepping over bodies and debris to and from the Rexxana. He'd been without any form of exercise for days, so it was logical that the usual motions would leave him sporting a bit more lactic acid in his muscles than usual. He didn't want to do it, but Charlie knew he needed to move if he didn't want that preliminary ache to develop into full-on, delayed-onset muscle soreness. The pirate crew were somewhat unpredictable, and he didn't want his reaction slowed around them if at all possible. With a grunt of discomfort, Charlie forced himself up to his feet. "Great, now I'm making the old man groan," he lamented. "Not good, Charlie. Don't let yourself sound like a geezer. Get your shit together." He peered at the door, realizing he was talking to himself out loud. "And use your inside voice, for fuck's sake. No telling if they're listening to everything you say," he silently reminded himself as he began to move and stretch. "There we go. Get the blood flowing. Loosen everything up." For 10 minutes, he limbered his tight muscles, working up to push-ups on the edge of his bunk. No way he wanted his hands on that floor. And bodyweight squats, his knees and hips popping as fluid in the joints gradually worked free. Gravity, at least, would help with that. It was something mentioned briefly in training before their ill-fated mission, and as the one with medic training, though from many years past, Charlie found the detail interesting and quite logical. In space, or a low-to-zero-G environment, the body had a hard time healing from trauma. While fluids normally worked their way out of a wounded area on Earth, without proper gravity, they would pool and stay put. This not only made swelling last longer, but greatly hindered healing times. And worse yet, injuries that would normally not be too big a deal back home could be life-threatening sans gravity. He quietly thanked his captors for the small comfort of the artificial environment that allowed him to heal, though he was quite sure it was unintentional. Then finished his little workout with a set of bicycle crunches on his bunk. He was hoping to loosen his hip and lower back while getting some blood flowing, but it was more than his hips he loosened up. "Oh, shit," he said, lunging for his filth-crusted toilet as his stomach painfully rumbled. He desperately tugged at his waist fasteners, knowing full well his captors would likely just leave him wearing shit-stained pants if he soiled himself. Fortunately, he managed to push them down just as his bowels lost control and voided explosively into the basin. It felt as though his guts had been run through with a pipe cleaning device. Then the lone cork holding it all in was abruptly pulled free. In seconds, he was empty, but that didn't stop the cramping. The automated bidet-like cleaning blast hit him as he squatted there, doubled over in pain, thighs burning from holding himself above the disgusting device. He still hadn't figured out exactly how it worked, but at the moment, he didn't really care. Charlie just hoped it would finish its cycle quickly. Just as he accepted that his quads couldn't take any more and he'd probably have to live with soiled bedding, the cleaning cycle ended, and none too soon. His legs gave out as he threw himself onto his bunk and curled into a ball. He was clean, so there was that to be thankful for, but the cramping continued for a full 2 minutes before finally easing up. After that, he just lay there for a good 10 minutes before finally mustering the strength to pull his pants back up. "Damn, shit my brains out so hard I think I lost some IQ points," he grimly chuckled to himself. The toilet had, as per usual, finished its auto flush cycle, then rocked back and forth a few times before giving up and staying put. The waste in the bowl had cleared, thankfully, but with all of the cells full of new occupants, the system it fed into was operating at high capacity. That meant the stench of dozens of prisoners' bowels wafted up through the bowl. Charlie, exhausted as he was, felt a burst of anger flood his system. "Okay, fuck this," he said, getting to his feet. He retrieved the sharp piece of metal he had secreted off the pillaged ship from under his bunk and began tracing the lines of the wall panel around the toilet system. "If I can just get in there, maybe I won't have to keep smelling the shit all day. I'm a goddamn engineer. If I can build a spaceship, I can sure as hell fix a stinking toilet." Charlie paused and shed his shirt and pants, carefully folding and placing them on his bunk, ensuring they would not become filth-coated from the work. His body he could wash far easier than the material, he figured. It was disgusting to even think about, but with all he'd been through, his tolerances were shifting regularly. 10 disgusting minutes had passed before he finally managed to work free a panel after scraping off the years of crusted buildup over the seams. What the hell? The workings were unlike any he had ever seen before. The mechanical aspects were clear, a few pivot joints to allow the unit to retract into the wall, and a simple tube leading into the depths of the ship, where waste was stored for eventual disposal. The rest, however, was, well, alien. Where he expected circuits and wires, Charlie found only small, ornate, embedded metal squares, no thicker than his little finger. Those, he quickly learned, would not budge. Okay, so these must be alien circuit boards of some kind. I guess it makes sense their tech would be totally different than ours. But still, this is just weird. He traced the different moving parts with his piece of metal, scraping crusty grime from the frozen parts as he did. He might not be able to access the circuit system. Whatever they tied into, he had no way inside that flush-mounted piece of bulkhead. But he could at least see about getting the moving parts moving again. Charlie rinsed off at the sink for the umpteenth time since beginning his task, then carried a handful of warm water back to the system and began using it to help loosen whatever it was that fouled the joints. It took hours, but after a lot of elbow grease, he had restored them to a functional, if not beautiful, degree of operation. He stepped back from the toilet and watched as the unit retracted into the wall. He moved closer and it swung out again, ready for use. "Now, that's what I'm talking about," he said with a triumphant smile. Just one problem. The toilet itself was still filthy. He looked at his hands, already soiled from his labors. "Fuck it," he grumbled, then set to work with his modified tool, manually breaking free the hardened shit and grime with his bare hands. Once that was done, he let the toilet flush away the debris. Then he carefully washed his makeshift tool and used it to cut a strip from his blanket, which he then soaked in hot water and used to scrub the remainder of the toilet until it was clean. He looked around. The cell wasn't that big, and he was already dirty, so why not? For another hour, he scrubbed the floors by hand, gradually lifting years of grime, revealing the dull gray surface beneath. There was no waste disposal bin, so he cut another strip from his blanket and wrapped the foul cleaning cloth in that. He'd just dispose of it at mealtime, he figured, not wanting to risk clogging the toilet with something so large after all that work. Charlie then rinsed off in his sink, scrubbing and washing his entire body as best he could. There would be a communal shower soon, he figured, seeing as they'd all just worked hard emptying the captured ship of its wealth. But the pirate captors were unpredictable on that front, so it could just as easily be a few days. And if he'd once shied away from the group showers at the base on Earth, he had now been forced to see enough alien private bits to last a lifetime. With a clean body and a clean cell, Charlie finally laid down on his bunk and breathed a deep breath of satisfaction. The lingering smell was still there, but it would just take time to fade. With the toilet functionally retracted now, he drifted off to sleep, the constant assault on his nose having, at long last, come to an end.